22 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of April of the year of our Lord 2007. Thank you for coming along. Making it part of your listening day, we are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. It is Thursday, and welcome to day 12. Thank you for coming along and making it part of your daily excursion into a thing into which you excurge. No idea what I'm talking about. Welcome to Debbie Country. That's what I'd like to say to you right now. Yeah.
Oh, that's the greatest way to start my day.
A 1% there. I'm going to begin. That's my new thing. I'm going to begin every day as program with a 1% joke. There you go. That's for today. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. If you'd like to engage with us electronically in a binary fashion in a series of ones and zeros through the intertubes, it is rick@rickemerson.com. You can also call today with your comments, your clarifications, your corrections, your two cents, your what have you. And I believe that annoying... I don't even know if you all could hear yesterday. This, I believe, may be the last little bit of fine-tuning we have to do on the Telos phone system with which we have speaks with those who call in. The line one yesterday, they're doing this weird thing. We'd pick it up, and it would have this weird sort of kind of rattling thing going on in the background. I believe that's taken care of. We'll find out later on. It's 503-733-2970. All right. Just before we start anything today, I would like to read this note. This note is a quote from Dave Zinn, who is the gatekeeper. He works here at the front desk at 2040 Southwest 1st in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, the studio from whence this very fine radio program emanates. So I go. We had several people come by yesterday and drop things off. Yesterday was a big T-shirt day for some reason. I don't know why that was exactly, but we got a listener party tent, which is coming up 7 days from today. 1 week from tonight, listener party 10, Emerson History X, which happens next Thursday. Next Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. That is next Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. at Barracuda. It's the 10th Rick Emerson listener party. And then we got a whole overview of the show with the kind of the history of the dumb program we've been doing for the better part of a decade. It's going to be 10 years here in just, I don't know, a matter of months or something like that. But anyway, so we got the 10th party coming up next Thursday, and there's going to be a whole display so you can look at the entire spectrum, the whole broad pageant, the panoply of all that we've been doing over the last 10 years here. And a lot of this stuff we don't even own ourselves, because it's like, why? Because I can't just have I do have a big box of stuff with my own name on it at home, but I have a limit. Like, how often can I really wear a shirt with my own name on it around? It is not a thing you can do without feeling like a tool. The only people who can do that are David Lee Roth and David Lee Roth and members of the Wu-Tang Clan. That's it.
Are you sure? I don't think anyone can really rock a shirt with their name on it.
No, the hip-hop guys can, and Paul Stanley can do it as well. I am not able to do that sort of thing. I have a couple radio station shirts. I mean, I have a lot of radio station shirts, but as far as Rick Emerson shirts, I have a few of those sitting in a box at home. Anyway, the upshot is that we've been asking listeners to drop off stuff from the show's past, whether it's photographs or whether it's pictures that they've got, or whether it's T-shirts, or whether it's just sort of tchotchkes or gigaws or whatever it is that they've gotten that has the show's name on it or something for the show's history. We've been asking people to drop that off. And so yesterday was a big day for T-shirts. So we had like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people come by and just drop off various bits of clothing from the show's past. And this is the greatest quote from Dave Zinn. And God bless him. He's also going to be the curator of the museum when it's on display at Barracuda next Thursday. You come in, he's going to guide you through, and he'll... I kind of picture him being dressed like George Carlin on Shining Time Station. Just sort of there with a little conductor's cap. Kind of wavy, telling you no flash photos of this exhibit, please. But he'll be there at Barracuda, kind of, if you have any questions about what anything is. You know, you don't know what a picture is a picture of. You don't know when a specific item was from in the show's history. He'll be telling you all that. So he's sorting through all this clothing. I walk by and I say, "Hey, Dave, how's it going? Looks like some people have been dropping off things from the show's past." And he just looks up and he says, "No one ever wants to wash their stuff before they bring it in." And then he just goes back to sorting and folding. And he was just doing it with this sort of tone of grim resignation in his voice. Just sort of a, c'est la vie. It is my lot. It's kind of a thing. So... Anyway, there you go. That's my observation about Dave's Inn. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. And before we plunge ahead and talk about what's going to be coming up on today's program, and the list is quite lengthy, I will also say this, that we didn't have until yesterday. Somebody dropped off. Let me just say this. There have been some awful logos, some awful pictures, and terrible pieces of advertising associated with this program in its long and storied history. There have been photos of me. You saw that photo of me taken. The one I showed you last week, or was it earlier this week? Where I got the black jacket and the blowy hair?
I think that was this week. With your hair blowing in the wind?
Totally. Where it's all flowing out behind me like I'm Kip Winger. Just some of the worst photographs ever taken of me. There are things... The problem with technology is now, just like everybody who can hook a microphone into a computer thinks that he's a recording engineer, everybody who's purchased Adobe Photoshop thinks that they are a graphic designer. And so the problem is that everybody who has the $50 to plunk down for some really terrible like clip art program thinks that they're able to put together advertising packets. There are some of the worst graphics and logos and pictures and images in the history of this, but things that are so bad, things you can never unsee. And I've got some, there are some advertising materials, not from CBS, but that were used in past incarnations of this program. But I showed it to our graphic designer, to our design person, Bridget, upstairs. And it was almost like you could actually see goosebumps forming on her artistic soul. It was almost like you could feel the waves of revulsion coming off of her. So some of those will be on display. What was my point? Oh, so the single worst logo in the history of the Rick Emerson Show was actually not anything having to do with one of our listener parties. It was something... I dropped my pen and now I can't move forward. Oh, come on. I dropped my pen and now I can't say anything. Now the entire program has to come to a halt while I find my pen. Oh, I hate me. Now, why can't I just be normal?
You have an entire box of pens upstairs.
I know, but that's not the... So this is the one I was just using. Oh, for the love of God. You know, did you ever drop something, and then when you finally find the object, it was like 175 feet away underneath, like a floorboard, and there's no earthly way that the object... Okay, I'll move past. It's fine. I'm a professional. It's okay. I'm a pro. I'll move forward. Oh, thank you. Jeff McGinley's brought me a replacement pen. Thank you, sir. Did you ever do something like... And it's something that can't really roll. Guitar picks. And musicians know what I'm talking about here. And I know I sound just the slightest bit scattered at the top of today's program. It'll all coalesce and come together in a beautiful mosaic by the time I'm done. Not really true. If you're a guitarist, you know what I'm talking about. You'll be sitting there and you're doing your best Segovia, and then the pick falls out of your hand. And I swear to God, when guitar picks... They ought to start designing airplanes and boomerangs out of whatever they make guitar picks out of, because you will drop a guitar pick. The distance between you and the floor is about 9 inches. You will find that guitar pick 3 houses down the street underneath the cat. Do you know what I mean? It just, I don't know what it is. It just, they are able to, it's like they grow legs. Or it's like they become some sort of perpetual energy creation machine when they hit the ground and they roll like 1,000 yards away. So it is with my pen. Really, it's like 18 inches from me to the ground, and there's some spongy carpet.
Did you find your pen?
No, I didn't find my pen. And really, there's a finite number of places it can be. That's the frustrating thing about losing something. Don't come over and look for my pen, because then I feel like an ass. Oh, see, now, not only Tim, now Sarah's walking around to the other side, from the other side of the board, looking for my pen, and you make me feel like a prima donna. I'm not a prima donna.
I'm not freaking out.
I just... Do you see what I'm saying? There's a finite number of places that any object you lose or drop could be. And
really? Did it fall down the hole in the floor?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate that. What are the odds of it falling into the... I have to tell you this, and I know this whole conversation is gripping to people in the audience. There's a hole in the floor here, dear Liza, that's about 3 inches by about 6 inches.
That is a very tiny hole.
This room's like 40 by 40. The odds of it falling in there, I mean, I couldn't have done that if I tried. And yet, of course, just to screw with me, Jesus made the pen fall down the hole just because he hates me and wanted to screw up my program. Thanks a lot, Jesus. I appreciate that. Thanks for helping.
Are you seriously blaming Jesus because you dropped your pen?
I'm saying he did kill all the Earth's inhabitants in a flood. It's not like it would be out of the question for him to screw with me. You know what I'm saying? There is historical precedent. What was my point? I had some point I was making about logos, and then I swear to God we'll move forward. Here's the thing. There have been two supremely terrible logos created. There have been two awful pieces of graphic design done in association with this program. One is back when I was doing the really ill-conceived national show. And I never met the person who designed this, and it's probably just as well because I would have to throttle them and then bury their body in a crawl space. They created this one sheet that would go out to affiliates or, you know, prospective affiliate stations all over the country. Stations that had never heard of me. They didn't know who I was. They'd never heard of the Rick Emerson program. Stations that were being pitched to carry this show. And their very first exposure to the Rick Emerson show, the very first thing they ever saw that had my name on it, their very first introduction to this, was a piece of advertising, really, that looked like it had been put together by retarded anteaters. I mean, who had just been let loose in a room full of bad images and crazy glue. And it all just sort of rolled together onto a piece of paper, and then they stuck my logo at the top of it, and then they sent it off. That's it. That's the worst, and that will be it, and they've blown it up. Bridget has actually blown it up into a much larger size so you can really see it. That will be on display next Thursday. Listener Party 10, the second worst logo. Anybody know what the second worst logo? Oh, here's a hint. You were all here for it. Second worst logo in the history of this program. Second worst piece of graphic design in the history of the Rick Emerson Show.
So it wasn't the What Happened to My Pants?
It was.
Okay.
It was the What Happened to My Pants logo.
That was awful.
Listener Party 5.
That was the worst clip art I've ever seen.
It's so bad, and it was so bad because, I mean, A, it was bad just on the face of it, and B, because it had nothing to do with the actual event. It had no, there was no correlation to the actual, event that was happening at Listener Party 5. It was, I swear to God, a nude, greased, muscle-bound, weightlifting cartoon man with a shock of blonde hair and, yes, no pants. That's what was put on the back of a T-shirt, and then, like, terrible, like, Comic Sans font writing across the bottom of it. And then the clients, God bless the clients, but the client's name put in, like, 80-point type, and then below that, plus Rick Emerson Show. You know, like, the worst thing ever. So one of those was dropped off yesterday. So that will also be on display next Thursday. The two worst graphics and logos ever associated with the Rick Emerson program. It's 503-733-2970. Speaking of things that are going to be on display, I'll read this email from a listener who is dropping off something very exciting. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Coming up today, we'll have CNN radio correspondent James Roop, who will join us today. He'll talk to us about our good friend Snoop Dogg. We have Lisa Goddard from The Hill, Steve Kastenbaum. Let me just talk about a guy who is just effed beyond anybody who has ever been effed in the entire effing history of effdom. And it's that guy who is trying to prosecute those Duke lacrosse players. That guy is more screwed than anybody who has ever been screwed. That guy is so screwed, he's going to have to twist his pants on every morning. It cannot be overstated. I don't have the words to describe how screwed that guy was. And Dennis Miller was talking about this earlier. There was some press conference with the mom of one of the Duke lacrosse players, who I believe were referred to yesterday as being not just not guilty, but actually innocent by, what is it, I guess now the new district attorney or the new chief prosecutor there in North Carolina. And man, that mom had a look in her eye that just, it just said kill. That knife on guy, he's going to be dead, and his great-great-grandchildren are going to have a pox put on their house because of this whole thing. No one has ever been as hosed as that guy, ever. We will discuss the length and girth of the hosing later on with Steve Kastenbaum. We've got It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard, and we've got It's the Worst Story You've Ever Heard. Now, we've actually got three different entries for this today, and I've decided that we're going to do something a little special this year for the children. And what we're going to do is we have these awful stories. Do you remember that story we had last week about the guy who had all the animal blood hosed into his mouth? I'm sorry, were you just taking a sip of coffee over there? Except it wasn't just animal blood. It was also blood from some medical facility.
Really contaminated animal blood.
And it happened while he was in a sewer. So many people said that that was, in fact, the worst thing that we've ever read on the show. So what we're going to start doing now is some sort of, it's like an NCAA bracket kind of a thing. I think we're going to start trying to do some sort of an elimination, like a face-off, to find the worst news story in all of newsdom. So we got three strong entries today. Of these three strong entries today, we'll determine the worst, and then it will march forward. And my goal is, by the end of the year, I want to have determined, conclusively, scientifically, empirically, the worst news story ever read. So I've got these three entries today. We'll read these three, and then we'll have the audience vote on which is the worst. One of them has to do with... Well, this one's all about saliva. This one's just a lot of scalpels. All right. And this one contains the phrase... All the contents of my abdomen fell out. Right there. For the children. And that's it. Oh, snuff watch today. A little bit of Anna Nicole news. And a procedure you absolutely don't want your insurance company to be covering for you. That's what's coming up today. 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Why? How are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm okay. I had this whole bottle of Vizo and then several cups of coffee, and I'm feeling
Why
just the slightest bit...
Why do you keep doing that?
Because I'm an addict. That's why. Vizo. It's highly addictive.
Okay.
So there you go.
I went to a Blazers game last night.
See, you've been doing that a lot lately. Are you becoming a sports fan? Is this because of that boyfriend of yours?
Well, I like doing something different. Like,
are you sitting in the skybox, or are you down with the people?
No. Last night, we've had close seats, but last night we were actually pretty high up. We were like second to last row. Totally getting vertigo sitting up there.
Oh, in the nosebleed seats?
Yeah, but it was pretty cool. It's like the angle, because it's such a sharp angle, you can see the entire court. So
who were they playing?
Houston Rockets.
All right. I asked, see, I'm a guy, and so I reflexively ask that even though I have nothing to do. I can't do anything with that information,
Yao Ming is on that team. Like 7'6". Like Asian ball player, basketball player. He's the huge guy.
Oh, I know. Is he bald?
No, he has a lot of hair.
I don't know what you're talking about this.
Okay.
Listen to how I just fumbled that spectacularly on like three different levels.
That was pretty cool to see because he was just huge and, you know, we were really far away, but he was just towering over everybody else. It was a good game. It was very entertaining.
I don't have time to talk about your active storage plan right now, except to say this.
I think it makes sense.
Well, here's the thing. Just to give you the heads up real quickly. So you, because now you don't have a dining room table?
I don't. I have a lot of room, and I don't have any
furniture. You have a dining room, but no table to put in it.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily desire to purchase
a
dining room table.
Well, first of all, let me tell you this. That's a wise decision for you not to purchase a dining room table. We were talking about this before the show. Here's the thing, and I hate to have to call out my lovely wife on this, but the thing is that people, and when I say people, I mean women, think that you need a dining room table, but the thing is, unless you have kids, and really even then, you get it and you never use it.
No, and that's just another thing to just cart around from place to place.
Tell me about it. It becomes another thing that you pay like $1,000 for, and then you cart it around from place to place, and then it just stacks and piles of things. Just the dining room. I sound like that guy in Better Off Dead. I sound like the dad talking about that car has sat on my lawn in an auto cocoon lane for 2 years. That's what my dining room table is now. My dining room table has just become another place to stack a series of cookbooks. That's all that sits there.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't ever get used. I can count on less than one hand the number of times that Laura and I have actually sat down and had a meal at the dining room table. All of them within the first month we had it. Now, it's just a thing that sits there that I paid for that collects dust. I don't mean to sound bitter. I'm just saying some purchases you make and then you never use, and that's fine because it was $5.
Which is why I came up with my brilliant idea.
So your idea is that you want people who have a dining room table in their garage that they are not using to store it in your dining room.
That's what I'm saying. I want to call it active storage. So say, you know, like people have a lot, you know, like say for example a couple, they have separate residences, then they move in together. Sometimes, you know, they have a double of something.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, sometimes dining room tables and chairs end up in a garage or in the backyard. Don't know what to do with it. So I was just going to check with my friends and see if anyone had a dining room table they want me to watch
out. So rather than storing it in a garage or someplace where it might be safe, they can put it at your house where it's going to be used and shipped and have food and beer dropped on it.
Come
and
on,
then they get it back. And also the other good news is they don't get paid
for
it.
You know it will not be used. It's just for aesthetic purposes. I'm not going to be using that thing. I sit in my chair in front of the TV and eat.
So eating out of a pan over the sink.
I am a classy bitch.
Totally. Just sitting there eating spaghetti out of a trough
No, it's just basically something I think I was just going to put it out there. I haven't done it yet, though. I think people might think I'm weird.
Yes. That's a great idea. It is sort of a Seinfeldian idea. All right. Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification today.
Uh-oh. Get ready for massive protest tomorrow as Karl Rove visits Tigard.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. What? Where? I mean, what is he
He'll
doing?
He'll be at the Washington Square Mall speaking.
All right.
To suburban shoppers. Al Sharpton still isn't done trying to destroy Imus, but he'll never win. And who needs MSNBC anyway? Imus raises $1 million in the first 5 hours of his radiothon. Washington State bans abstinence-only sex education, and Tarzan's chimpanzee turns 75.
Oh, that was the one he was in all those movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's see, I got the... Why did I write down the phrase? This doesn't even make any sense. Why did I write this down?
What'd you write?
I wrote down the phrase DNA. I really don't know why I wrote that down. That makes no sense at all. I have no idea why I wrote down the phrase DNA. I must have been wanting to make some observation about that. Was that an Anna Nicole thing? No, it couldn't be. We're done with that. We're past that. I have no idea. Well, whatever. Real quickly, I'll read this. And then I don't think we have time for anything else. And then we got to kind of plunge ahead. We got Lisa Goddard coming up and so forth. This is, now we've been talking about Listener Party 10, which is coming up next Thursday, and the fact that people are dropping off just stuff from the show's past, whether it's photographs and whether it's items of clothing or whether it's some of those banners that people have stolen over the years. Those are showing back up. Yesterday we started talking, we're putting together some listening booths. How cool is this? We're putting together some little listening booths so you'll be able to go there, put on headphones, and listen to important moments in the show's history.
No way.
It's totally true. You'll be able to go to Listener Party 10. You'll be able to put it in. It's not going to be all fancy and whatnot, but I mean, it's not going to be like OMSI quality. But you'll go there and you'll be able to put on headphones and listen to important moments in the history of the Rick Emerson
Show. Like Tim Riley reading the story about Anna Nicole and her Native American son?
It's entirely possible.
Oh, come on.
I'm just saying.
I've never left that hearth in my life.
There will be an interactive segment of the party, yes. And so I was saying yesterday that we had that whole business when we were downtown where we sent Scotty down there to demand to see the Tom Cruise baby because we didn't think Baby Siri existed for the longest time. Sarah stayed up really late, bless her heart, creating these Show Me the Baby sandwich boards, which we then dressed Scotty in, and he went down with a loudspeaker and he was chanting and doing the... It's on YouTube somewhere where he's chanting the...
Scotty actually has it on his MySpace page.
Does he really?
Yes. It's very cute.
And it was a lot of something, something we all lose, please to show us baby Cruise or whatever. And like three people showed up. And then the signs just vanished. I was like, well, what happened to the Show Me the Baby signs? So I got this. Rick, after 2 weeks of procrastination and searching, I found what you were seeking. I was the third man out of the Legion that were in front of the Scientology Center with Scotty. And I am the man who has your precious Show Me the Baby signs. I was there that historic day and proudly volunteered to take the hefty and ill-fitting sign off poor Scotty J's shoulders, and he couldn't be too happy to be rid of it as it barely fit me, and I'm a man of hefty dimensions. I offered to take the sign with me, to which Scotty accepted in a tone that signaled he was happy he didn't have to lug it back to the studio again. After handing me the sign, it was at this point that Scotty offered to autograph it for me. And then he says, let that sink in, Rick. I know I had to. First of all, you can't offer to autograph things. That's a thing that people have to ask you for, Scotty. If you are constantly asking people if you can sign things, it loses a little bit of the elan. It doesn't have the... Yes, I know, Scotty, how you get started. Yes, I know, you're having to push start your career. After a few moments of weighing this decision, I accepted, figuring I'd show up at one of your parties wearing the sign and collect autographs from the rest of you. So this guy, Chris, in Southeast, is going to be... he will be dropping off the Show Me the Baby sign today. So that'll be being dropped off later on today. And it was actually, I think, two different signs. And mm-hmm. I think our...
We made one that Scotty wore and then one that he carried.
I think the other one is showing up as well. There's I think at least two of them people have found now, and those are going to be dropped off here. So that'll all be on display next Thursday, Listener Party 10. Let's get Lisa here, and then we'll break and come back with Lisa Goddard. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, how about giving the address of Barracuda, Christ on a Crutch? I've been listening for how long? And
you know, there's no need to take the name of our Lord, Savior, Jesus in vain. It's at 9 Northwest 3rd. It is right off
Burnside. It was Northwest 2nd.
9 Northwest 2nd. It's exactly what I said. Right off, I don't know where it is. Where is it, Jeff? 9 Northwest 2nd?
Well,
I thought it was 3rd.
Damn it, Rick, I don't know. Hang on. We're supposed to know these things.
We're professional broadcasters. We're gonna we're gonna find that out right now.
Northwest.
So, is it raining where you are?
Okay, yes, 9 Northwest 2nd.
Yes.
9 Northwest 2nd. So yeah, you go you get right over the bridge into Southwest, and you'll
right
take
between Burnside and Cooch.
Yeah, you take a right off Burnside. And I know that people say this a lot, and it's always a lie, but you can't miss it. You really can't. Even I can't miss it.
Okay, well, I don't get out so much, so I didn't know where that was. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys.
Why don't you get out so
Maybe
much?
Maybe that's personal, right?
Can I ask? Because otherwise, we're just going to make up our own hilarious reasons.
Oh, you know, I prefer you make up your own hilarious reasons. I work in the middle of the night, so when things are going on, I'm pretty much working, so.
What kind of work is this?
I'm sorry.
I'm feeling irascible today. I don't know what it is. No, when you say you don't get out that much, and no offense, you sound like a very lovely lady. When you say I don't get out that much, for some reason, I just pictured like one of those guys in New York that ends up having to be taken out of his house on a forklift because he weighs 1,300 pounds. Not that you sound, I'm not saying you sound fat, but that's I don't know why that's the image that popped into my head. Especially, I just pictured like them taking on a wall of your house and then you being lifted out onto a truck. I don't know why. I'm sure you're a wonderful person.
I'm not housebound. No, I work in the middle of the night.
Sarah, don't laugh at me. That's the first. I'm just being honest. That's the first image that came to mind. I'm sure you're a lovely woman.
And I am.
See, that's what I'm saying. She's a lovely woman. I gave her a chance to clarify that fact. And now the audience doesn't have to make up their own horrifying reasons why she doesn't get out.
She's, I have no cat. Okay.
Yeah, she's not a leper or anything. All right.
No.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
That's Lisa. All right, let's get one more here. This is Timothy.
Hey, Rick.
Timothy, hey.
Hey, it's Timothy. Way back when, I met you 4 years ago when I came into the studio with my keyboard that you bought for $20.
I do remember you, sir. You came in with a keyboard that was used on several of the early Tim Riley Factor recordings.
And you guys dug me sticky keys, Tim, because a couple days later when you tried to play it...
The keys, yeah, they were all sticky and they would go down and not come back up.
Exactly. Well, in connection with maybe the greasy keyboard theme, I was wondering, now, later on in my life with Rick, in my history with Rick, now, I took that $20 and bought a bag of dope. I've called you since and talked to you about my recovery and the methadone and being in Sean Penn's movie.
Let me understand this.
I just shared maybe a little too much.
Hold on, we're gonna be late with this segment anyway, so we might as well just... Let me understand. People who are longtime listeners, I'd like to, by the way, or encourage advertisers to listen especially close right now to understand the... I'm bleeping that. Let's not say that again. So let me understand this. So a couple years ago, you brought in a keyboard because we needed one for a Tim Riley Factor song.
Correct.
I think, out of my own pocket, gave you $20.
No, you forgot to. I left the studio. I called back and demanded the $20. Remember?
And then
you forgot to give me. And you did give me $20.
I gave you $20. And then you took it then and bought drugs with it.
I went downtown and bought a bag of heroin.
Jesus Christ Almighty.
Oh, good Lord.
This is the best show ever.
Now, since then, I've been in recovery. I've called you about that, too.
Let me just ask this. And please don't incriminate yourself in any way, further.
Don't worry. Please
tell me that, like, that bag of heroin didn't then lead to some horrific crime. Like, that wasn't the one bag too many that caused you to, like, go and machine gun a busload of nuns or something.
Well, do you remember that string of bank robberies?
Right.
Well, we call it our bottom, Rick. No,
we're
I'm just
done.
Kidding. No, Rick, it enabled me for the week, but, you know, a couple months later, I got clean.
Well,
and it's been a true. I mean, I would never have been on the Sean Penn movie had I not found recovery.
Well, I'm glad I could help you get some heroin. Thanks, Timothy.
Hey, can we find the keyboard for the show?
Yeah, I'll see if I can dig it up.
Hey, you guys have a great day.
Thank you. This is a good time to break. We'll be back after this. Don't go anywhere. Rick Emerson radio program. Now I've got too many pens. Here, I'll give this one back to you, sir.
Thank you.
503-733.
Oh, you gave me the bad one.
Yeah. That's the replacement pen that Jeff McGinley gave me. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I managed to get through that crisis a few weeks ago when they quit making my pen. The Pilot Ultrafine V5 Sharpie. They no longer make it. I'm now using this Uniball gel thing that Dave Zinn gave me. Sort of the methadone for my... I'm not going to make any more methadone analogies today. That was a disturbing call.
Yeah.
It's a weird sensation to know that you inadvertently funded a guy's heroin habit. That'll make you think long and hard about your career choices. We'll get some more of these phone calls here in just a skosh. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill. CNN radio correspondent, Lisa Goddard. Hi, Lisa. How you doing?
Hey, Rick. What's going on?
It's been a bit of an interesting day so far. Are you... Now, is this a real question, or is this a making polite small talk at the beginning of this?
Real question. I feel like you've always got something to serve us.
No, that is true. I had this whole derailment in the first segment of the program because I dropped a pen on the floor and I couldn't find it. That was fascinating to everybody, I'm sure. It's the weirdest. I will give just the thumbnail version of this story because we're doing this. We're doing this listener event that's coming up next week and so forth. We're going to talk about the history of the program, and we're gathering together some artifacts and memorabilia from the... Because we've been on the air for, coming up on 10 years and whatever. And so, people are bringing sort of pictures or sort of swag or just stuff that they've collected from the show over the last 8, 9, 10 years. And there was this guy who called up a few minutes ago. And a long time ago, we used to have this horrible house band on the show, and it was a band just... is staffed by show personnel, and we would record these terrible songs, and we played them on the air, blah, blah, blah. So a couple years ago, we didn't have a keyboard. We needed, a keyboard to record some songs with, and I went on the air, and I'm like, hey, does anybody have a keyboard? This guy calls up, and he's like, hey, I got this keyboard I never use. I'll drop it off. You give me, $20. It's yours. He's like, it's not great, but it works. $20, you can have the keyboard. I'm like, sold. Listener comes by the studio. He drops off the keyboard. The keyboard, again, is not all that great. The keys are kind of sticky, but it works. I give him $20. Bada bing, don't see him again. So he calls up about 15 minutes ago to say, hey, you remember me? I'm that guy that brought you that keyboard that you bought for $20 a few years ago. And I'm like, oh, that's great. And he said, yeah, so I'd been clean for a while, but then I used that $20 you gave me to go buy a bag of heroin. And so since then, he's gone through recovery. He's now clean. He's turned himself around and so forth. But it's sort of an odd feeling to realize that about 7 years ago, you completely inadvertently, through no willful intention of your own, facilitated a guy's redescension into the depths of a heroin habit. That'll make you look long and hard into the mirror when you're shaving in the morning. How's your day going?
I don't think I've had that much effect on anyone's lives yet.
But
you never know.
Radio is a powerful medium.
I'm fighting the man today. You know how the bosses are.
Oh, now you got to tell me that. You can't just be vague about that.
No point. It's all internal. We're changing this process, and they're all, nobody's all, it's just very annoying. And, you're trying to, they're making it so that when we file stories, in my opinion, we have to do twice as much work, so everything takes a lot longer. And then even when you're doing it, you're getting these emails that are like, oh, you didn't put this, crossing I, dotting T. So it's just, you shouldn't let it bug me, but it's annoying.
So it's very bureaucratic, the amount of red tape.
It seems very bureaucratic, but the good news for radio listeners is we're putting out more information for you.
Fantastic. Well, I will say this, I love working at CBS, and I mean that sincerely. People who hear us dog on the radio industry a lot may think that I'm just sort of mouthing that. But we've worked for some good companies and some not so good companies in the past. We dig CBS. I would say it's probably the best place we've worked in many ways.
Oh, great.
But, man... Goddamn, though, you want to talk about just a paperwork-heavy company. I mean, seriously, every time I want to go fill my coffee cup, I got to find 9 requisitions and a purchase order and get it approved by a regional vice president.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It's just off the chart. So I do know what you're talking about there.
Oh, boy. And one of my bosses loves to send these very sort of vague, I think kind of passive-aggressive emails out of the blue that'll just say, it'll have some sort of item that he read somewhere attached, and it'll say, this is interesting. Are you asking me to cover this?
Right.
It just sort of this vague.
A lot of those go out, and radio companies do that, too. I've worked for a lot of people in the past in radio, more so actually at other companies. We used to work for Entercom, and it was a lot of stuff there where, like, one of the bosses would send out, like, he would see an article in some trade magazine about, like, some company, somewhere, someplace, some guy doing something. And, yeah, he would forward along with a whole food for thought kind of subject line. And they're like, well, what? Like, do you... What do you mean food for thought? Do you want me to do the thing that this article's talking? Just tell me. What am I supposed to be doing with? If you want me to do something, tell me to do it. Because something that is just labeled food for thought, that just...
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that just goes in what my teachers used to call the round file. So, all right. Well, in any event, I meant to ask you, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. Robert Gates, who's the defense secretary, he said that he's going to be... The tours of duty... Now, is this for the entire military, or is just this... This just for the Army? And here's a dumb question. Is it, I guess I ought to know this, but are all the branches of the American military represented in Iraq and Afghanistan, or is it only certain branches of the military that are currently there?
My understanding is that all branches of the military, of course, except the Coast Guard,
right.
And I don't know for sure that the Coast Guard's not there, but it's not within their mission to be there. So I'd be surprised if they were. But all other branches, I understand, are involved in Iraq or Afghanistan or both.
And so is it just the Army that is having their tour of duty extended? Because that's sort of the way the story reads. That's right.
It's active duty Army. So members of the Army Reserve may have a different situation. It's hard to say if they will, though, because when they're sent over there, they're sort of in a category that's kind of considered active duty because they're in a theater of war. But for sure, active duty Army members are having their tours extended from 12 months as a standard to 15 months. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, why aren't the Marines also having theirs extended? But the Marines already have a similar rotation. They're in country for 7 months, and then they get to be home for 6 months. And that's because they're attached to naval ships. I don't really know why those deployments are different, but it has to do with the way they get there and their attachment to different ships and those kinds of things. Not every Marine unit's attached to a ship, but some are.
It doesn't really ever seem like there's a straight answer for the military about whether or not enlistment or recruitment is up or down. Depending on it doesn't really ever seem like they'll just give you the bottom line answer about whether they're having a real hard time getting people into the military now.
You know what they are saying? We know the numbers that they've given us over the past 2 years have indicated that they've met their recruitment goals. Now, that is to say that they've increased recruitment to some extent. But the problem now is, what's going now? Have they maxed that out? There's a lot of questions as to whether there are more candidates out there. Of course, you know, there are always, you know, young men and women coming of age that they can try and recruit. But there's some concern that beyond that, they've already, you know, gotten everyone they could to join the National Guard, everyone they could to sign up. It's hard to say, and I think with this tour extension, it's going to be a lot harder for the Army to meet its goals as well. But we'll see. So far, they've offered incentives and been able to get people on board. And who knows?
Here's a really dumb question. Is it illegal for the military to say, as part of the, is it a contractual thing for them to say, look, you're going to be over there for 12 months and you're back, and then suddenly from underneath you just change it from 12 to 15 to 16 to 18 to whatever? Is that against the law?
It's not against the law. It's the military's. I guess you could go to the Constitution. You could probably write a law. Congress could try and pass a law that would say that. But the way that, in general, wars have been operated, modern wars, is just going to the Constitution, and that the president has the power to execute any war that is authorized by Congress, and that gives the president really wide power over the military in general. So it's not against the law to extend these tours. Now, it depends on, you could say, is it ethical, is it not ethical? That's a different question. The military says that when you're at war, you've got to do what you've got to do, and they say they didn't have a lot of choice here.
It's a sticky wicket? I don't even know what that means. Is it, when they suddenly say something is a sticky wicket, is that a cricket term?
I think that is a cricket term.
I don't really know what it means. It's such a hard ball of yarn to untangle here, because it obviously is sort of a de facto war, but isn't really like a de jure war, because there was no formal declaration of war, but clearly it is an ongoing military operation. And so there's all of this talk about there's going to be this big face-off between the White House and Congress over funding of the war. How does this work? Is this a thing where Congress has to actively turn off funding for the war, or does it function in that Congress has to renew funding for the war every so often, and they'll just not do that.
That's a big part of this debate, is the fact that the way funding works is, in general, the way this president has approached funding for the war is he's made an emergency supplemental every year instead of folding it into a larger budget, you know, saying that this is something that's going on in our country. We know it's going to be happening next year. Here's my request for all of next year for the war. Instead of doing that, he's come up with separate emergency appropriations that are singling out. So Congress does have the ability to turn down that money and to say we're no longer funding that war. But in the past 2 weeks, we've seen the House and Senate pass those bills. Now, those are must-pass bills. Everyone here, the politics are such that there are certainly not enough votes to block that funding, though there are some Democrats who would like to do it. They're a minority. So it's basically a must-pass bill, and that's why you saw Democrats attach these timelines for withdrawal, because they're sort of saying, all right, we know that the president, we know you're in a bad spot, we know you've got to have this money, but to get it, you've got to give us a horizon for when we're getting out, and that's how we get to this standoff, because the president's saying, no, I'm not doing that, and it's your fault then that the money's... So, you know, it's really both sides pointing to the other.
Yeah.
Both sides at fault here.
All right, there you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies, are you on tomorrow?
I am on tomorrow.
All right, just double check it, because is tomorrow Friday the 13th?
Tomorrow is Friday the 13th.
All right, okay. Hey, have you come up with any idea? Roop, I know, is looking for something. He's looking for some story to do for Friday the 13th. He's trying to brainstorm something fantastic that he hasn't already done.
He's done everything. Last year he did great stuff on Friday the 13th.
I suggested that he just put on a hockey mask and just leer menacingly at people as they walk by in Los Angeles, and that be the extent of the story, just to gauge their reaction. Perhaps brandishing something that doesn't make any sense, like a toaster oven. But, you know, that was one of my lesser ideas, so we'll see. So if you think of anything else, you might want to pass that his way.
And I will. Yeah.
All right. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Thank you, Lisa.
You got it.
All right, there you go. Lisa Goddard on the Hill. Fantastic. All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. This is that awkward time where we have no time to really do anything. We only have time to do something really short. So what we'll do is...
I'm sure you have some terrible story or something.
Well, I do. I have these three terrible stories. I have these three awful stories here, but I think I should wait to do these. Let's just take a break here. We'll come back. I'll do a few emails on the other side, and then we'll hit the news hour. Here's what's coming up later on today. We got CNN radio correspondent Steve Kastenbaum about the Duke lacrosse dismissal. We have Jim Roop coming up later on. Top five. You're moments away from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. We'll talk Listener Party 10, Like Us at 3, Don and Mike at 7, and the worst song you've ever heard. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show.